And we've got a great one coming up on the Breaking News Emergency Podcast Edition. Paul Millsap comes to Brooklyn. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Adam Armbrecht, as you heard at the top, emergency podcast style, as the Brooklyn Nets add the rumored player, the speculated player that was out there and that the Nets were going to be interested in, and that's Paul Millsap. He is the 36-year-old veteran of the NBA. He is the four-time All-Star, and he is Paul Millsap, model of consistency. We're going to talk. I mean, you know, when Doug gets back in here, we'll bounce off these ideas on him and see how much we align on it. But there's some very easy things to point to here that make this incredibly positive. And then maybe some details just around the rest of the roster overall and what else maybe could go on here ahead of the regular season. Is this the last move that the Brooklyn Nets make? That's an interesting thing to kind of dive into. But on the surface, as I say, Paul Millsap has been a consistent player going back to 06-07 when he came into the league with the Utah Jazz. His effective field goal percentage last season was 54%. His rookie year, it was 53%. And he's basically hovered right around that number his entire career. The free throw percentage for his career is 74%. He's basically always shot that, never much below 68, had 1 year last season, 2 seasons ago, excuse me, where he shot up almost 82%, right? So, and he's not taking a lot of free throws, by the way. Last year, that 73%, 72%, that's on just under 2 attempts per game. So you don't have to read too much into that. The rebounding numbers are nice as well. Career, 7 rebounds per game, gave you 5 last year. And also threw in a pretty balanced there, threw in a couple of assists per game as well. That's, again, all these career numbers, pick out any year of his career, and it's basically right in line with that. Some bigger shooting, you know, scoring performances over the course of his career. You can almost look at the minute shares and say, yeah, when you're playing over 30 minutes a game, that's going to get you those 17, 18-point performances going back to his time in Atlanta. But over the last couple of seasons, you look and you see, last 3 years, going back to 18-19, 27 minutes, 24 minutes, 21 minutes, right? So slipping down into that same kind of range as a guy like a Blake Griffin, who played just over 20 minutes for us this past season. And this is where I think impact of this player, beyond the consistency, he's also, you want to go by a lot of different metrics or the eye test, but defensive upgrade, obviously, for this team overall. A plus Raptor rating defensive player over the last 3-4 seasons and over his career as well. But just really taking a look almost solely at, okay, after you're 32, 33, are you still playing with a level of consistency on that end of the floor where you can have some reliability, right? So there's a little bit better versatility there, certainly. This isn't there's no one-for-one comp here of who he's replacing. The rumors about DeAndre Jordan being bought out. He's not a one-to-one replacement for Jordan. He's not a remotely a replacement for what Jeff Green was doing. But I mentioned there Blake Griffin. And then that's where I think this matters the most. When you talk about this roster, I think really you get into that forward room, the 4-5 area, and you say, well, now we have Kevin Durant. We have Blake Griffin. We have Paul Millsap. We add in Nicholas Claxton as well. And that group, that four-man group right there, take out DeAndre Jordan, put in Paul Millsap, that's a stronger group. It's a group that's more capable of playing around and in support of these stars without necessarily having the liability piece that I think we all know existed there with Jordan. You know, Nicholas Claxton, not a shooter. Rebounder, versatile defender, though, right? So that's a nice piece of it. Can play against almost every position on the defensive end. That's what allows for that versatility. But then in around him, you need to be able to drop a scorer alongside of him. You need to be able to drop somebody that's going to balance those books there. And that's what I think Paul Millsap can bring to the table in that regard. It also frees up this, again, going back to last season. When you have Blake Griffin out there, and we mentioned at the time of the buyout, I was a little more optimistic than Doug, but that's just because I like to trend optimistic. So does Doug, by the way, but I think he's also, as he said, he's also a realist. So at the time it was just don't be looking for Lob City Blake Griffin, right? Put yourself in the mindset of where this guy is now in his career. But he did all the little things. He leaned into that gritty kind of role for Brooklyn, and it was fantastic. But when we talk about what your role is for a team or as an organization, what this player's role is going to be, remember last year the Nets tried to sign, and did sign, LMA. Then the health issues took him out of this group and out of this rotation. So that was not something that they anticipated. All that happened after that was the rotation got shorter, and the emphasis and need for certain players to play more minutes and more important minutes got elevated. And even though, you know, we all know, you consider and say, if not for the injuries, even with everything that happened around them, this team was going to the finals, right? That's what we all thought. We all believed it. This team will go to the finals if they were healthy last season. And it'd be easy to rest on that and say, so let's be healthy and let's go to the finals. But instead, you have to look and examine what worked, what didn't work, what was successful and repeatable versus what was successful and maybe something that is going to be hard to rely on for a duplicate performance. And that again, to me, is the Blake Griffin piece. And also things that didn't work, other components around these superstars, DeAndre Jordan getting faded down the stretch, right? So you examine that. And you say, and by the way, just I think as a kind of a side note here, is these rumors starting to fly. Friend of the show, a lot of people over on Twitter, but Matt Brooks, you know, he goes in on that film study. Check out his Patreon. Support the man, doing really nice work over there. But when he does the film study, and a lot of people start to say, the more you look at this fit, kind of more bullish you get about it being a really nice pickup for the Brooklyn Nets in Paul Millsap. I think of it like when you signed Patty Mills, and you really start to think about what his skill set is, what his game is, and how does it fit in support of Kyrie Irving and James Harden. You start to get really excited about it. And that's the championship teams, we've said this in this offseason, championship teams consistently are trying to improve. It's why the roster is a little bit rolling. We saw how much turnover there was for the LA Lakers this offseason, because every single year the emphasis is on getting back to a championship opportunity, and you can never just sit back and say, let's run it back. I think you have to be willing to examine critically your roster and make the improvements where they need to be made. And even though the Nets didn't make as many moves, because they didn't necessarily need to, they made a couple of key additions here that, and we've already said, already had the odds still in Brooklyn's favor to win the championship. We'll touch base back on those next week and see where they've shifted in the addition of Millsap. I want to get into a little bit here, just the roster overall and maybe what it could mean going forward here before the regular season gets underway. But before I do, I got to talk to you about Sweatblock. That's right, friends. You've heard Doug mention it before here on the show, and now it's my turn at the helm. Everybody knows that there is angst and embarrassment potentially around being a person that sweats. Sometimes you have to go to a big occasion. Courtney and I are preparing to go to some weddings in the fall, and it could still be hot out there. I get hot even in the fall, friends, and it does. It becomes a little bit embarrassing when I want to get out there and dance and have fun with friends and family, and I've got just these massive pit stains on my button-down collar shirt with my tie on, and sometimes it keeps me from getting out there and really enjoying myself. That's why Sweatblock and the Sweatblock wipes are the exact thing that I've needed and I use and really could not recommend more. They're doctor-created and doctor-recommended, so even just beyond me. They work up for 7 days per use, dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you'll get your money back. And it's been featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. Those guys are in more heat than you and I, good friend. So if you can't take my recommendation, take the firefighters' recommendation as well. SweatBlock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before you go to bed, and then the next morning you wake up, wash, and go about your day without any worries about that sweat. And it's guaranteed or your money back. You have to check out SweatBlock and get it today, as you'll get 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or Amazon and CVS. That's right. You know it. When we recommend it, we also help you get it at a better price. Over at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS, and you'll be sweat-free just like me. And of course, I've said it to you before, might as well mention it again. You got those devices that let you catch the game live, another one that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports and highlights on your phone, and you're begging, in my case, Doug Norrie, give me the passwords to the streaming services. They won't let me have it. Well, I got to let you know about that simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. It means no more juggling remotes, no more needing to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual subscription. So get rid of the clutter, get rid of that confusion, stop begging Doug Norrie, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Okay, so the other piece that I just wanted to get into was, and this is going to be an evolving thing. The interesting part was, we hear the rumors with the buyout for DeAndre Jordan. We hear that LMA is trying to get back into the league, and there was and speculation that the Nets maybe were going to be one of those teams in consideration for him. Does the signing of Paul Millsap preclude the Nets from making an additional move? My response is no. And the reason why is when you go inside this roster, if we are to believe, as Doug Norrie would say, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, to rumors and speculation around the buyout for DeAndre Jordan, once that goes through, then what we're talking about is, so that's a one-to-one from a roster spot standpoint. Okay. But if I say Alize Johnson as a name that could come or go, if I say that the Nets have an opportunity here across this roster to, in the final active roster plus the two ways, to maybe make one more additional move here, I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion, right? And when you consider the idea that Millsap and now Blake Griffin and that unit around Kevin Durant, the flexibility it starts to create, my question would be, where are some of these other pieces going to fit in best? You know, James Johnson was brought in this offseason. We know Bembry, and that's at both forward positions when we just think about how these rotations are going to work. But what's the minute share going to look like for these guys? Are they just going to be deep bench players that never see the light of day? And if that's the case, could an LMA be a better fit and create more flexibility at multiple positions? My speculative thought would be here, what if LMA were to join this team for whoever it costs a roster spot, and now suddenly you're looking at LMA and Nicholas Claxton at the five, Millsap and Durant at the four, and Blake Griffin at the four or at the five, or maybe some Millsap at the five, or maybe some Kevin Durant in small ball lineups. You can kind of see the theme that we're going with here. Flexibility. And when you think about Blake Griffin, specifically Paul Millsap, and then certainly LMA at their current points of their career, you're not asking for 30 to 35 minutes a game. You're asking for 20 to 25. But what is the threshold of quality ball at X minutes per game versus the drop-off from your starting unit to the bench rotation and the level of consistency that they're going to play with? I'll be interested to see. Are the Nets going to stand pat here? Are they maybe going to consider making some moves to help improve this roster even a little bit further? And really, I mentioned Alize Johnson. It's just to say, I'm guilty of this on the podcast, right? I get excited about the young players. I get excited about the spark plugs and what they can bring to the table. Now, some of them paid off that excitement, like a Bruce Brown, and he gets brought back in, and we're excited to see what the evolution of his game looks like as this roster gets a little bit more balanced from last year to the upcoming season. But then guys like Alize Johnson, who look good in the summer league, and he's flying around, and he's, you know, doing the Alize Johnson thing. But what's his ceiling? And maybe what's his floor, right? What level of consistency can he offer you? And then in the big picture, and maybe the long-term picture, buyout market during the season, moves to be made, players that become available, this still does become about the playoff run and winning a championship. And as you shorten your roster down, like the Nets did last year, now instead of saying, you know, as we say, all these names, instead of saying, well, no more DeAndre Jordan down the stretch of the season, no DeAndre Jordan in the playoffs, but now you have Blake Griffin. Now you have Paul Millsap. He's going to get you some minutes there in the playoffs. So now you've added in a playoff contributor for your team. LMA, or any of these players, playoff contributor for your team. So while it may cost you a young player, an exciting player, a fun player, someone that does a lot of things during the regular season for you and eats up some minutes, may cost you that guy. And maybe it'll cost you some wins during the season because you may rest some of those older veteran players and run out the proverbial scrubs from time to time. But it's the big picture. It's the championship run and making sure that you have these pieces in place that you think are going to be best suited to support the big three and get that chip. That's something that I'll bounce off the Dougster. But again, at the end of the day, the big news is Paul Millsap in. The Nets roster is improved. The depth is improved. The defense is improved. The consistency is improved. The experience is improved. And that's all you want. With all the turnovers that you see from all these teams around the league, when you're the favorites to win the championship, it's hard to make those little tweaks that you think can help push you that much further ahead of the pack. The Nets did that in getting Paul Millsap. Doug and myself will be back in next week. I'll bounce these thoughts off of him, get his takeaways as well, obviously. In the meantime, as the Dougster would love to tell you, you can support this podcast. We've been really, we consistently say, we love what we've seen in the numbers over the course of this off season. It means that you're supporting us, and we want to support you by giving you the good content, the fun shows, the exciting conversations. You can subscribe, follow, rate and review. Leave that 5-star review. Say how you miss Doug when he's not here. You miss me when I'm away. It's always the best when we're both a part of the action, as we always like to say. We're simpatico. It's a two-man game. So go ahead and rate and review wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. We're here. Got to remind everybody that you can get all the sports news that you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host and friend of the show, Peter Bukowski, updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. And Doug, if you're out there listening, when I drift off, I will dream about you. It's always you. Anthony Stark. We'll be back again next week talking all things Brooklyn Nets basketball.